Meet the author. Meet the author. Are you ready to meet the author? Meet the author. Meet the author. Are you ready to meet the author? Meet the author. Meet the author. Are you ready to meet the author?
Hi, I'm Nakayan.
I'm Liv.
I'm Warwick.
And you're listening to
International Day of Disability
on 3CR.
Stay tuned.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Meet the Authors on International Day of Disability 2021, 3rd of December.
My name is Rafael Caleb, and I am talking with two authors about their experiences of getting books published during COVID-19 and social distancing in 2021. The first author is Sandy Jeffs, author of Australia, with her book, Poetics of a Plague.
How are you doing?
Hi, Raf.
Fantastic. We have another guest with us today, Heidi Everett, author of My Friend Fox. Welcome. How are you today, Heidi?
Yeah, I'm really good. The sun's out. My spirit's happy.
Excellent. Now, as we all know, we have had COVID-19, social distancing. Let's talk about different experiences. But the big news out of 2021 was both of you, Heidi and Sandy, came published authors. Tell us about the journey.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll go first. The journey, well, 2020 began with a bang for me, and then it descended into the COVID lockdown, and it was pretty awful because I had a book published in 2020 early on out of the madhouse, and then it was published and had the book launch, and then suddenly COVID struck and went into the black hole. So I was saddled with this lockdown situation in Melbourne, where we were fairly harshly locked down, couldn't leave our homes. We had a curfew. We had all sorts of things happening. And I thought, well, my friends thought, what's the best way to navigate this? And they suggested that I keep a daily diary of what's happening in our COVID lives and do it in haiku poetry. So that's when I began my diary. In July last year it was, in the beginning of the 2.0 lockdown. And for those who don't know, haiku poetry is a form of poetry where you have three lines, and the first line is five syllables, the second line is seven syllables, and the third line is five syllables. So it's 17 syllables in total, and it's a form that comes from Japan. It's a very truncated form, but I chose to use that for my diary because, in a way, it's expansive even though it's small, and it just lent itself so beautifully to documenting the daily doings of our life and of the life of Trump and the life of Boris and the life of all these international figures, as well as Dan Andrews. So that's what I did during lockdown, Raf.
Thanks very much for that, Sandy. Now, Heidi, what was your journey like with My Friend Fox, from having the idea to becoming a published author with My Friend Fox?
Well, I started writing My Friend Fox, you know, back in 2013. So it's a long journey. It's a long road. So it's been really interesting shaping essays and songs and poems and illustrations and thoughts into a book. And, you know, I just absolutely have to thank and appreciate Writers Victoria particular, the writability project and publishability, because without them, you know, championing space for disabled and deaf and diverse authors, my friend Fox wouldn't even get a tiny little look in to the publishing world. So it's been an absolute collaboration. And I'm just so grateful to all the little doors that kept opening and finding those little doors to open. But I think, you know, coming from the background as a songwriter and a singer and a performer, I've been telling these stories for such a long time and putting them onto paper and you know, putting them inside two covers and presenting it in a little book form, it's very wonderful.
Now, I said, Hardy, now, my friend Fox is a memoir talking about your life. You've got to tell us more about what stands out for you about writing down as a person for my friend Fox.
Yeah, so I think, Sandy, I don't know if this relates with you as well, but when you have a mental health reality, you spend your entire life telling counsellors and psychiatrists and doctors and nurses and police and ambulance drivers these stories. These stories, you know, are living in the psych ward. You tell everyone every other day these stories, what happened to us. So putting it into a literary form and calling it a book is so liberating and it's so empowering, because it's taking those little stories back that I have been telling ad nauseum for the last 40 odd years to counsellors, and now I'm telling them as an author. It's incredibly life-changing.
Now, before I go back to Sandy, now, Heidi, when it comes down to you're sharing your stories, but importantly, you're sharing them your way about what actually happened, about experiences that were and how your journey in life progressed. It's very much about you as a person, as opposed to a mental health, medical perspective. Why is it important to tell the stories your way?
Oh, exactly, because otherwise my book is a mental health file.
Right, I've got you. So let's tease this out. A mental health file, that means it actually would have things like clinical labels on it instead of it being about the person.
Yeah, and about the story and about the first person story. I think, you know, on one hand, my book has been published for decades in the mental health system. But I never got any benefits from having that book published in the mental health system. You know, Sandy, what do you think about that?
I was just going to say that, first of all, I remember when I had my first book published back in 1993, how when I got that book, Heidi, and held it in my hands and knew that I had written the words that were contained between those covers, it was such a joy for me to have that book and to know that I'd done it. And I know that your first book is really important because it's a game changer, and it opens many doors for you that would have been closed ultimately anyway. But having that first book published is such a liberating, as you said, thing for your life. It's a transformation, and it's a validation of who you are. And of course, being a book and being published by a publisher, it's been edited, it's been honed, it's been crafted, and it's more than just a raw story of who you are. It's a crafted story of who you are, and it's your narrative that you're giving to the world, which tells the people who you are, what you believe, what you feel, what you think. It's all there in those covers, and it's a joy to behold, and for me it was transformative.
Now, Sandy, you've actually had a very long journey as a mental health advocate, and part of that journey that receiving an Order of Australia, absolutely magnificent, very well done on that. As an author, was it just about having a writer or external advocacy as part of your journey as it relates to
Poetics of a Plague?
It's the whole journey. I mean, in a way, every book is the culmination of your journey, where you've come from. You know, no matter what stage you're at, and every book is a different transformation for you. It's a different side of you. So this book, The Poetics of a Plague, is a different side of me. But it's very clear what my politics are. It's very clear what I feel about some of the stuff that was happening. It's very clear how I was feeling myself about my own sanity, about the world's madness. And so one of the ironies of the book is, Raph, is that the madder the world got, the saner I became. It was just so ironic. And as I was documenting every day in these little haikus what was happening, it was just so, the world seemed so bizarre, but I was less bizarre than the world. And in a way, what was happening in the world, particularly with all the conspiracy theories and all the stuff that was going on, is that it made us schizos look like the sanest people on earth. It was extraordinary, and that's so ironic.
Right now is at Hardy. Now, with My Friend Fox, title, My Friend Fox was a dog that was very close, like a guardian kindred spirit looking after you. It was your companion. Is that, was My Friend Fox looking after you or looking over you during the experiences of social distancing and lockdown?
What a beautiful question. That went entirely perpendicular to where I thought it was going. and I just want to add a comment to what Sandy just said. I really think the pandemic cured schizophrenia for a lot of people because... Yeah, lucky we were on antipsychotics through it. Hey, about that, going through the pandemic with a little guardian angel looking over me. Yeah, because the dog in the book, Tigger, you know, he was my soulmate and he still is my absolute bestest buddy ever, my little dog Tigger. And he's so close to me in the afterlife. Sometimes I have to tell him to go sit on his mat, because he's just too close, and I think, on your mat, Tiggs. So I feel that I'm never alone, and I feel that the pandemic lockdowns, Raph, you might relate to this as well, is that when you already kind of go through life, that was a nice magical little sound there, you know, go through life kind of on your own anyway, and you live on your own, and it, kind of the lockdown, and everyone was saying, oh, we've got to go back to COVID normal, you know, and get out and have 10 people in your house. I panicked, you know, because I don't have 10 people to invite to my house and I couldn't handle it even if I did, you know. So I rarely have one person to my house. I think probably throughout the year I might have somebody knock on the door about 3 times, and twice, 2 of those times is, you know, Australia Post. So, having a little doggy in the afterlife traveling with me no matter where I go on this planet or in this universe is very comforting, and it's very, you're never alone. And I feel like that when I'm in nature as well. When I feel lonely, I go for a walk in nature down at the local park. And, you know, as soon as you're talking with birds and trees, you're no longer alone. You can't feel alone when you're in nature.
Right, well, that's a lovely image for us to take a deep breath, a pause, while we play some committee announcements on Meet the Authors on 3rd of December, International Day of Disability on 3CR.
You're listening to 3CR
Community Radio,
855 AM.
Hi, you're listening to 3CR and Melody Shotade for International Day of the Disability.
The 3CR Disability Day 2021 broadcast is proudly supported by the City of Yarra, through an Investing in Community grant.
Access, access, united we're strong. We won't go away because we know you're wrong. Access, access, you had your way too long. We're here and we're gonna stay. You closed all the streets, the shitters out of town. You tried to give us sweets as you took away our ground. We don't want treats as the lights are going down. What we want is access now. Access, access, demonstrate your rights. You got a right to be here.
Now, welcome back to Meet the Authors. We've just listened to one of my favourite artists, Johnny Crescendo, with Access, Access. Let's continue talking with Sandy Jeffs, Order Australia, about her book, Poetics of a Plague, and Heidi Everett with her book, My Friend Fox.
Right, well, as I said, let's cross back to Heidi and your experience around nature and creativity, talking with the birds, listening to the trees. Let's take it from another perspective. Let's say if the park was actually empty, it was isolated, and it's very, very quiet, and that all that space was your own, Heidi, would that be, I believe that would be very similar to other people's experiences during the pandemic where we had social distancing and suddenly people couldn't go outside, but it actually is everyday reality for most people with a disability, not having as much interactions with the outside world. Do you think it could have been seen as a time of healing?
Good question, Raph. I live in the bush, so I feel very privileged to live where I do. And I do say in my acknowledgements in my book that living out where I do at Yarra Valley, in the hills around the Yarra Valley, it gave me the space and the quietness and the stillness in which to create my poem. So even though I don't know all the names of the plants, I don't always walk in the bush. I like to just sit in the house in the middle of the bush. Even though I don't really engage like other people do with the bush, I know I'm here. I know I have it around me, and it gives me the peace and the quiet that I need to create. So, and even though we were considered part of Greater Melbourne, as we were, because we were still in that ring around Melbourne, because I could, you know, go for walks on the tracks and just be in the quiet stillness of my surroundings. It gave me the mental space and mental stillness to write my haiku poems and to keep my diary. So yes, it is important for me to know that I have this around me and that I'm in the middle of it. But in a funny way, I also don't engage with it. It's really odd. I live in my head. I live intellectually in my head, and I tend not to see sometimes the flowers that are blooming. I probably should see them more often, but I...
Yeah, I'm kind of mirror what Sandy's saying, that I don't need much conversation with other people, because there's so much conversation alive in my headspace and in my spirit and in my soul and in my heart. It's loud. Honestly, the conversations just go on and on and on and on. So I think my experience of someone with a mental health disability, I feel that when we were stuck in the walls and we could only go out for an hour a day and then we had to wear a mask and everything, it drove me bananas, because the conversations were bouncing off the walls back at me and it was closing in and I was so claustrophobic. And I'm sure everyone relates to that feeling, you know, being stuck inside four walls. And I think that it's kind of a paradox that when you're so alive in your own head, you've kind of got to do the opposite to what everyone else does. Or, you know, you've got to go out and socialise and you've got to make sure that you take time to bring people into your life and make sure those conversations are quality conversations and things. But when your interior world is so loud and busy, it's actually quite hard to imagine what it would be like to be empty, if that makes sense. So I can't really empathise with people who struggle with no head noise.
Not me either, Heidi. Can I just add there, though, that I think what was required during the lockdowns, particularly when we had the curfew and we were really heavily locked down, was an element of patience. We needed patience to be able to sit it out and wait it out till it got to the end. And what I observed in myself was that all those years I spent in the Arundel Psychiatric Hospital in the wards, just sitting with boredom, just sitting with, you know, whatever was happening around me, all those months I sat in Larundel prepared me to have the patience to get through these lockdowns. And that was in a way a gift that Larundel gave me. It gave me the gift of patience that we needed.
Yep. Now, is it, Sandy, is it with your book, is it that's getting launched before International Day of Disability? Now, is it, whereabouts will people be able to buy it?
Oh, if you go onto the website of Spinifex Press, you can order it off the website at Spinifex, or ring them up and order it. That's the best way. Bookshops will get it in. If you ask at the bookshop to get it in, if they haven't already got it in, they will get it in for you. So any good bookshop will get it.
Right. Now, is it, Heidi, is it your experience with My Friend Fox that is in the book stores? Now, what are some of the places that people would be able to buy My Friend Fox?
Oh, it's in, it's on the book catalogue. It's on the Library Catalogue of Australia and New Zealand. So it's on all the online bookstores. It's in Dimex. It's in Readings. You know, all the little independent bookshops might have it. So shout out to Eltham Bookshop, Queenscliff Bookshop, Mornington Farrell's Bookshop. I've been in all these little bookshops and I see it there, and it's such a little buzz to see it there. But if you Google My Friend Fox, it'll sprout all over the place. I've even got a couple of copies if people want to buy them off me, and I can sign them for you. But we should have a little market.
Yeah, likewise, Heidi. I have copies too. Yeah, we should, Heidi. Have a little stall somewhere.
Well, Well, is it Sandy? We're going to do a quick cross to you. Is it, have you got a website for people to contact you if they would like to organise, let's say, a group signing?
No, I don't have a website, Raf. I'm not that high tech, unfortunately. But if people can email me, if they know my email address, or message me on Messenger. Otherwise, I don't give my email out to everybody. So it's tricky. I don't have a website. I'm not that high tech.
That's right. And I've got to actually say, Sandy, your web footprint is massive. And do you know any other Sandy Jeffs? Because as far as I can see, you're Sandy Jeffs.
No.
It's quite understandable. Now, is it, Hardy, one of the things you've done to engage with the readers, you've invited, if people are in a bookshop, to look for your book, My Friend Fox, and take a photograph of it.
Yeah, I made a little short film, and I'm making another one, a collage of people with My Friend Fox. So if you see it in a bookshop, I recommend that you actually buy it. That would be lovely. but also take a photo and email it to me. And my website is heidieeverett.com.au. Make sure .au is at the end, otherwise you'll end up with there's four Heidi Everetts in Melbourne, would you believe? And we're all doing quite creative things. So please put .au at the end, and you'll find all sorts of things on there.
Well, I'm just going to repeat the website, www.heidieeverett, all lowercase, one word, .com.au. Well, fantastic. That's actually a pretty good note for us to wind up, I think, is that two very creative, fantastic authors, Sandy Jeffs from
Poetics of a Plague,
Heidi Everett with her book, My Friend Fox. Thank you very much for coming on to meet the authors, Sandy.
Thanks for having me, Raf. I really appreciate it.
You are very welcome, Sandy. Thank you very much for your time. And Heidi, thank you very much for coming on to meet the authors, talking about your book, My Friend Fox.
Thank you, Raphael. They were fantastic questions.
Yep. Well, thank you very much. Let's go out with a song. It is called Thank You for Freedom. It's one which I wrote during lockdown. Keep listening to 3CR on International Day of Disability. Goodbye.
People are laughing, going to a bar, talking with friends, bright as a star. I sing to the world, thank you for freedom. Hugging their families with tears of joy, holding them tight like a child's soft toy. I sing to the world, thank you for freedom. The reconnection of people, the fellowship of being human, the relief in their eyes, instead of despair and doom, floating in space like a hot air balloon, dancing with happiness. I witness people